brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. For man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil.
Thank you, Roger. And this week I was just praying, Lord, what do you want me to say to your church on Sunday? And very clearly put Romans 12 on my heart. And as I was preparing my sermon, I realised there's a series in this. So I'm actually going to be breaking this down over the next few sermons that I actually do. And surprisingly today, I'm only going to look at two verses, verses 1 and verses 2. And we met as a deacon, a diaconate team this week, and we're talking around people's gifts and how they can use those gifts. And then what we want to do at the church meeting is roll that idea of teams out to the whole church, where members can be part of a team where they can use their gifts, all for the glory of God. And Phil's talked about knowing, growing, and showing in the love of Christ. And we want to become a church where the gospel has changed our lives. That's knowing. We want to use the gifts that God has given to us and grow in maturity in Christ-like. And that's growing in the love of God. Where every member is equipped to bring glory to God. And that's showing the love of God. First to our family here and then to the town, to the communities, the wider communities. And what we found is that love, the love of God is poured out into us, and as a group, it ripples outwards. You can't stop it. You can't stop what the kingdom is doing. And this chapter, chapter 12, is a reminder for most of us, actually. Most of us know this, and most of us are doing some of this. Some of us might even be doing all of it, but to some it might be new. And I've made my title that the right relationships leads to the right living. And in 1 and 2, we're going to talk about our relationship with God. This Romans chapter 12 begins in Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile, to the non-Jewish, to us." And from chapter 1 all the way up to the end of chapter 11, Paul is explaining the gospel and salvation and what that means for us. The gospel is God's invitation to all of humanity to join with him in the transformation of creation. We're invited to be ambassadors of his will, to be agents of his power, to be co-laborers under his direction, and to support his mission, not ours. So the context of chapter 12 is really a summary of verses chapters 1 to 11. Paul starts off, therefore, and we'll come on to that in a moment. Paul ends his teaching in chapter 11, all the way from chapter 1 to 11. And chapter 12 is about what it means to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. God has given us a life and a purpose in Christ. He's forgiven our sins, which we did not deserve. And he's included us into his family, the family of God. So really here, Paul's asking the question, how should we respond to God's great mercy for us? Chapter 12 then describes what it means to live the Christian life. And in chapter 12, the key idea is all about relationships. Verses 1 to 2 is our relationship with God. Verses 3 to 8 is our relationship with ourselves. 9 to 16 is our relationship to one another. And 17 to 21 is our relationship with our enemies. The whole of chapter 12. And we're going to be breaking those down week by week. But to sum this up, if we have a right relationship with God, then we'll have the right relationship with one another. Verses 1 to 2 is God's call for us for consecration and transformation. Verse 1 is about presenting our bodies, our lives to God, and that's consecration. Verse 2 is about renewing our minds, and that's about our transformation to his will. So if you're ready, let's start at verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship." There's a lot in there, isn't there? Let's unpack that. I want to go back to that word, therefore. Therefore, when you see therefore, it means you need to look at what it's there for. We go back to chapter 11, but we go all the way back to chapter 1, through to 11. Therefore is a summary of those first 11 chapters here in chapter 12. And this is a critical transition. When you see that therefore, it means something important is coming here. And this is in fact the fourth therefore. The first therefore was in 3:20. It was the therefore of condemnation, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was the problem. And then in verse chapter 5, 1, it's the therefore of justification for those who believe in Christ. They are justified by faith, just as if you never sinned. In chapter 8, 1, is the therefore of assurance that now there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And here in chapter 12, 1, is the therefore of dedication. We are to dedicate ourselves to God. And Paul says, therefore, if you understand the gospel, you live it out. And if the gospel doesn't shape how we live our lives, then our life is not being offered as a living sacrifice. Verse 1, Paul urges us to use our lives in the service of God. It's not to earn salvation, but it's a response to being saved. It's in response to the mercies of God, which Paul talks about in chapter 11. And note here, it says mercies, plural, mercies of God. God doesn't just save us and leave us there. It's a continual mercy of God. And in Matthew 9, Jesus says that mercy is the truest expression of God's will. And what this means is, if we're not loving people for our actions, we've misunderstood God. And in Matthew 12, Jesus says that you can obey the letter of Scripture and you still completely miss the heart of God. We're to love God and love one another. And above all, God is merciful. He is ready to help us when we respond to his call. Paul says, therefore, if you are grateful for God's mercy, then present your bodies to him and let him transform you. And that's the first point. Give your body to God. Verse 1. Now in Greek thinking, the body's a tomb that the human spirit is imprisoned in. That's what they thought about the body. They thought the body didn't matter. They were embarrassed by the body. It makes you wonder what their bodies were like. But our soul can do nothing at all without our body. Isn't that true? We can do nothing without our bodies. Our body is God's temple. The Spirit of God lives within us. And Paul is saying, offer your body, offer your lives. And he means every part of our life. The public bits and the private bits. The outward bits and the inward bits of our lives. And not long after I came to faith, I made a decision. Most of the people who knew I wasn't a Christian at that stage. When I became a Christian, I could have decided to live a private life as a Christian and a public life like the old Martin. And I made a decision, no, I'm going to live one life, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to tell everybody I'm a Christian. And I did worry that some of my friends might not want to have anything to do with me. But I was actually really surprised that they felt honoured that I would share that with them. And in fact, the opposite happened, that rather than not being my friend, they wanted to know more about what happened and why I'd become a Christian and what that meant to me, and it opened up opportunities to share the good news with. Paul says we should use our bodies to serve God and his purposes for God's glory. So, what does Paul mean by a living sacrifice? A sacrifice is usually something that's killed. In the Old Testament, they made animal sacrifices to atone for sin to God. And we no longer need to make animal sacrifices. Sacrifice has been redefined and relocated. The example is Jesus Christ. Jesus is a living sacrifice. He sacrificed himself as a sin offering to end all guilt and all shame. And to be a living sacrifice, he rose again to bring us life. So we see in Jesus the living sacrifice leads to life through him. A living sacrifice is a life shaped by mercy, where faith is expressed in action, where worship looks like love of neighbour and honour to God. And in verses 1 to 2, this living sacrifice, what it means for us is our offering of gratitude and praise. God gives us eternal life, and we give him our lives. Our true spiritual worship is giving of ourselves. A living sacrifice means something is put to death. What do we put to death? It's the idea that we have the right to choose how we live our life, the way we want to live our life. We put that to death. No longer do we belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. A living sacrifice, therefore, means giving up our right to self-determination. No longer do we decide what is right or wrong for ourselves, but we are guided by God's word, Christ's teaching. No longer is it something that we offer occasionally on a Sunday morning. It is a worship, it is a lifestyle of worship. We offer ourselves, we offer our whole lives to God every day, right now, in a continuous worship which flows from the mercy of God. And what I've learned is if you let go, if you let God take control of your life, you become free. About 18 months ago, I was praying, Lord, I'm so tired of trying to do this Christian life. I surrender to you. Will you help me? Will you keep me? I was reading Psalm 121 where it says, the Lord will keep you. And I asked, Lord, would you just keep me so I don't get tired of trying to keep myself? And I can honestly say, ever since he has. And it's lifted so much off of me. It's given me freedom. Have you taken your hands off your own life? Have you let go and let God take control? Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And here Paul is appealing to us, and it concerns our mind and the will of God. And this is the second point. You give your mind to God. Verse 2. And it's interesting that both sin and righteousness begins in our minds. This culture wants to change our minds through external pressures, through peer pressures. And God wants to transform our minds by releasing power from within. We must break free of this me-first worldview that every human being lives by default. And therefore, we have a choice. There are two alternatives, and only two. The Apostle John describes it as a choice between the darkness and the light. Paul describes it as a choice between the flesh and the spirit. It is a choice between this age, which is passing away, and God's will, which is eternal. God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We have the choice. There is a law of atrophy, which tells us that if the body and the mind decline when we don't use it, when we don't renew it, when we don't change and evolve, the body and the mind will decline. We need to use it or lose it. It means that we can't stay the same. It means we must change. The problem is we can't actually change ourselves. Only God can change us. But the good news is this, that God wants to transform us. And this word transform is really interesting. It's the same as transfigure. And in Matthew 17, when it talks about the transfiguration of Jesus, it's exactly the same word as used here. It's the word metamorphosis in English. It's a change from one form to another form, from the old to the new, to the dead to the born again. And an image of a caterpillar that metamorphosized into a butterfly. And when I was born again, I decided I wanted to follow my passions. And I started painting, and I wanted to paint a butterfly, which was a symbolic of how I felt inside. I changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly now that I was in Christ. I metamorphosized a new creation in Christ. How does this transformation take place? Our mind is renewed by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word. And as we spend time in God's Word, the Bible study, Sunday night at 6 or Tuesday at 7:30, as we spend time in God's Word, God transforms our minds. Our minds begin to think as God thinks. We begin to desire as God desires. We begin to love as God loves. And we begin to see as God sees. As we spend time in prayer and surrender our will to His will, the Lord starts transforming us. And that's the third point. You give God your will. Verse 2. Our mind controls the body. Our will controls our mind. It shouldn't be the other way around. It shouldn't be our flesh deciding what our will does. It shouldn't be the mind deciding. We use our will, which is why we have to align with God's will. Our mind controls our body. Our will controls our mind. And only when we surrender our will to God can His power give us the willpower to be victorious. And God will also use other things, our experiences, to transform us. He'll use our trials and our hardships to transform us. He'll use the fellowship here to transform us, to transform our character and our conduct, to transfer our purpose and our way of life, if we let it. So friends, Paul is talking about Romans 1 and 2. And that's what I've tried to talk about this morning. And next week we're going to do verses 3 to 8, which is our relationship with other people. And we're going to look at what our life looks like as a living sacrifice, verses 3 to 8 next week. And I have to say, I've been struggling with an application that it came to me yesterday. Thank you, Sarah. And how do we apply this to our lives? So I can only really speak about how I would apply it to my life. And you may have thoughts about how you can apply it to your life as well. But for me, I'd sum it up like this. We have to have the right relationship with God. And that's a devotional relationship. And we have to be open to the Holy Spirit. I want to start my day each morning, before I get out of bed, by surrendering my life and my body to the Lord. Then I want to spend some time in God's Word. And I want Him to prepare my thinking for the day ahead. And if I don't do these two things, then I'm not prepared for the day. My day won't go as well. And then I spend some time in prayer. And I pray, Lord, I submit my plans to You. Change my plans if these aren't Your plans. And then I pray the armour of God over myself and vow we do it together, and we'll be protected, and that the Lord will have our back. And then I especially pray for the things that trouble me, the things that upset me, or the things that worry me. And if you sum this up, it's surrendering our bodies, our minds, and our will to the Lord. And I'd like to say that I do this every single day, but I can't. I wish I could, but I want to. I want to go deeper with the Lord. And I've realized in the ministry formation this year, the deeper I go with the Lord, the more time I spend with him, the more I go further with him. I want to say that I do this every day. And the season of Lent is upon us, and this is a perfect opportunity that I'm going to do this every day. This is my dedication to the Lord for the season of Lent. So why not join with me in making time and space every single day for the Lord, so that you will go deeper in your relationship with him. Bringing this to land now. It would be wrong if I don't go back to Jesus. He's our example of how to do this. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus has prayed. And what he's actually doing there is he's letting go of his will to God's. He's letting go of his life out of love for us. So now, can I encourage you to let go of your life for him and become a living sacrifice? And what I've learned is when I do this, what flows into us is newness of life. New life comes into us. What flows into us is what we've always been looking for. But if you keep your hands on your own life, I've learned, you will be angry and you'll be upset. There'll be things that will make you angry and upset. Take your hands off your own life like Jesus did. Jesus took his hands off his life for us. So friends, let us take our hands off our life for him. Paul asked us at the beginning, how should we respond to God's mercy? And I believe it's this. By becoming a living sacrifice, this is our reasonable worship. This is the only way for us to respond. And I've learned that when we take our hands off our own life, we fall into his hands, and he will never let us go. So, be brave. I encourage you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you've done in each person's life here, in Christ. And Lord, we offer ourselves, our lives, our choices, our futures to you. We take our hands off our own life, we let go and let you take control. And we give you everything. We give you our whole lives. And we ask you to continually renew our minds day by day to your will. Renew our hearts, Lord, as well. Transform them by your love and your truth. And form us into living sacrifices for your glory. And all the saints said, Amen. 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 That's what God put my heart this week. Next week, we're going to look at Romans 3 to 8. Come to a time of communion. This seems rather appropriate, doesn't it? But just before we do communion, I'd like to congratulate Graham and give Graham the official handshake into membership. Graham was voted into our membership at the AGM a couple of weeks ago. So Graham, if you'd like to come forward, thank you. Congratulations, Graham. Welcome, member of the Sandy Baptist Church. It's great to have you.